Amen. Thank y'all very much. Jesus, you change everything. Is that true? I believe it is. I know it is in my life, and I know for a lot of you it is, but I'm always intrigued by stories that come in places that I'm not expecting on how Jesus does change everything. So I'm going to show a video here in just a minute, and I want to warn you that it's graphic, it's violent. And if you've got somebody that might, you know, that might not be good for, you know, it might be a good time to go to the bathroom or whatever. It's not awful, but it is. It's an MMA fighter, okay, and they're going to show a little bit of clips of that. But I think it's a powerful testimony. It's a couple minutes, but I just want to warn you before I show it. But it does remind us, just as that song, that Jesus does change everything in places, in people, in seasons that we don't always look for or expect. But that's how Jesus works in mysterious ways. So I want you to watch this clip. All right, so Justin Wren. I don't know how many of y'all have heard of Justin Wren before. I'm sure there's some MMA people out there and like to watch that kind of stuff. I admit I like to watch that. But his story is a powerful one, and I want to tell you a little bit more. That guy didn't tell you everything. He told you about how he was off from fighting for 5 years, and he had to come back, and you saw that fight where he won his first one. He hadn't fought in 5 years, and he came back, and he won. But the story behind that was he was an All-American wrestler in college, tremendous athlete, tremendous wrestler in high school. He was a state champion twice and went on to Iowa State on a scholarship and was training for the Olympics. And eventually got into MMA, and like the guy said, he was really going up the ranks, doing really well, very popular, but he got into some trouble with drugs and became addicted and, alcohol, cocaine, narcotics, and was eventually kicked off the team that he was on because he just was so addicted and having so many problems. And he said, "My childhood dream turned into a living nightmare, but when everyone else had written me off as beyond redemption, one friend, Jeff, refused to let me walk away. He called me several times a day, inviting me to a Christian men's retreat." And he says, "I was expecting a bunch of kumbaya moments around a campfire, but," he said, "the men on this retreat were raw and real about their struggles in their life, just like mine." And after opening his life to Christ, Justin Wren basically wanted more than just this MMA fame that he had had before. He started volunteering in local ministries and prisons, sharing his story with anyone who would listen. And then he had a prayer, and he went to God with this prayer. And he says, "God, I'm yours. If there's anything you want me to do, I want to do that. I desire to do your will, not mine." And he said God answered his prayer with this vision of working in the jungles and a Bible passage from Isaiah 58 where God talks about his heart for the poor and oppressed people. And then Justin explains what happened. He says, "I shared this vision that I had with my mentor, Caleb, and he immediately knew that I was describing a tribe of pygmies in the Congo. And he told me that he was leading a group there in a month, and he encouraged me to go with him. And our goal on this trip would be to find the most remote pygmy villages and in the jungle and form relationships with them and learn more about the needs that they had. And I saw firsthand that circumstances were graver than I had ever seen in the vision that God had given me. And after several months back home," he says, "I still could not shake this burden, this calling that God was calling me to." He said, "So Caleb connected me with Shalom University, a Congolese Christian school dedicated to serving the pygmies, and I knew that I couldn't help them unless I understood them, and so I had to live with them for a year." And he said, "I slept on a twig and leaf hut. I ate their food and suffered from the same diseases. One bout with malaria nearly killed me." And he says, "But no matter how tough things got, I felt more at home with that tribe than I did ever in the gym in my fighting career." And he says, "I was soon adopted into the pygmy tribe and given a new name." And I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but basically it says the big pygmy. And obviously when you're 6'3 and 250 plus, and the tallest man in that tribe is about four foot, maybe 5 foot, you know, you're obviously the big pygmy. And so after a 5-year hiatus, you saw the story where he came back. But he was a changed man. He's written a book. Those of you who want to follow him, you can, you know, Google it after the service, please not during the sermon. But it's a great story. He's written a book about it. He continues to fight, but I wanted to read this, what he says about his fighting. He says, I returned to the MMA cage in the goal of raising money for Fight for the Forgotten. You saw that on his t-shirt. That's the book he wrote. That's what his organization is called, Fight for the Forgotten. The organization I founded to help serve the Pygmies. The drive to fight is still there, but I am no longer fighting my inner demons. I'm fighting to fulfill God's call on my life. And that's what I want us to talk about today. This is quite a story. And as you probably noticed, is that testimony ends that I read you from Justin Wren. He says, I'm fighting to fulfill God's call in my life. Obviously, he was a gifted wrestler, a gifted fighter, if you can put those two words together, gifted fighter. I know it seems weird, but obviously, God is using Justin Wren in a powerful way in that tribe. He's done a lot of work there, not only to build relationships. Again, go and look at his Facebook page. Go and look at his Twitter. I mean, it's amazing. He's carrying this little bitty baby pygmy around. It's a great sight. He's helping bring water, fresh water, to those tribes. And he's every time he fights, he's raising money to do something to help those people that he feels like are a lot of the forgotten people in the world. And so he feels like that's his calling now. He still fights, but no longer is the fighting his calling. He's using that to do what God has really called him to do. So this morning, you say, hey, that's a great story, Craig. That's great for Justin Wren. But I ask you this morning, what is God's calling in your life and in my life? And when you hear that, you might think, well, that's for people like you, Craig, who are a preacher. We understand that God calls those people to preach or to be a minister or to be a missionary, you know, like the Harpers here or like Perry Rubin at Auburn, who's going to be here next week with some of his students. That's the calling that God's, but just for regular, ordinary people, that's, you know, that's not for everybody. And I want to say today that's not true. I believe it's clear in Scripture, throughout all of Scripture, not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, but all of it combined, it's consistent that God says you are called to do something great in this world. And God's put you on this earth for a reason to follow that calling that He's called you to do. Have you ever really thought about that? Or you might say, yeah, I hear you, Craig, but that's still for other people. I'm just trying to get my mess cleaned up right now. Hey, Justin was getting his mess cleaned up. But it took God calling him to get his mess cleaned up. Or maybe you're thinking, that's something I'll think about, but right now I'm kind of focused on what I think my calling is. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job with that. And maybe you are. But I really want us to think this morning about what God has called us to do in this world with our lives. Hearing Justin Wren's story makes me realize, again, that everybody has a calling. Sometimes we hear it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we hear it, and sometimes we ignore it. We don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't care what God has called us to because we're pursuing what I really want to do with my life. But throughout the Bible, we read and hear of those who were called by God. They were in different cultures. They were certainly in a different generation, in different seasons of their life. But when I look at the whole of the Bible and I think about all the different characters, and whether you've heard of these characters or not, maybe the Bible is something new to you, or maybe it's something very familiar to you. You know this is true. Those of you who have not read it, I'm telling you, it's full of ordinary people that were called by God right where they were at a certain time and season of their life. And most every time in the Bible when God calls those people, they think, not me, not that. You couldn't be talking to me. You couldn't want me to do that. I can't do this because, and the list of excuses goes on and on. But those people that did answer the call of God, their lives were never the same again. They experienced God in ways that were not always easy. And a lot of times it makes your life a lot more complicated, but in ways that brought a meaning and depth to their life that they had never experienced before. I think about Abram in the Bible, who would later become Abraham. He was called. I think about Jacob, Moses, and Moses had a lot of excuses why God, it can't be me, you can't be calling me. Deborah was called, Gideon was called, Samuel was called, Esther was called, David was called, Elijah was called, Jesus called each of his 12 disciples, and Paul was called, and I could go on and on and on, but all those people received a calling. And again, when I say call, you may say, well, that's some weird thing that God does that you have to be attuned to understand and to hear. Is it this audible voice? Is it a vision? I mean, Justin Wren talks about a vision that he had for these people that God wanted to send him to after he had that prayer. I can't explain it for everybody, but I have no doubts in my mind that God calls people to do great things in this life. That's how he accomplishes his purpose, right where you are. So this morning I want us to look at a text from Paul's letter to the Ephesians that reminded them and reminds us. This is a letter that was written 2,000 or so years ago, but it still has relevance for us today. That's why we need to read it. That's why we have to look at it. And he's reminding them that we do have a calling in our lives. So it's going to be on the screen here, and let's look at what Paul says to that group. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, and he's a prisoner at this time, he's in jail because of what he's doing, because of his calling, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you notice every time I emphasize, were called. Paul is saying, you were called. If you are breathing, you were called. If you have breath in you, if you were born into this world, God is saying, I have called you. I have a purpose for you. I did not just make you to just occupy space and time. I have a calling for you. We all do. So I want us to look at this passage this morning. And when we're doing those things that Paul mentions, when we're truly following God, and you kind of heard some of the things he talked about specifically, we will recognize our calling for God in our lives. And when we make that realization, our perspective in life changes for the better. See, Justin Wren's perspective changed. It was all about him. It was all about fighting. And when I watch MMA, I'll be honest with you, I just go, it's tough to watch these guys because you do all this time training, and then you get on the stage and you have this fight, and if you lose, it's devastating for that other guy, isn't it? And now what do? You go back and train again until the next fight and hope you can do better the next time. And after a while, even the fame and even the victories he was winning, it was something that he was searching for, and God finally spoke to him in a powerful way. But I notice here that when we make that realization, our perspective on life changes, and that's exactly what happened to Justin. He went and lived among this tribe, and all of a sudden, it wasn't just about the fame. All the people that buy tickets to see these fights, all the fame that he was getting, all the interviews he was doing, it was different. All of a sudden, there's this forgotten piece of property, this forgotten group of people who have these incredible needs, like basic things like clean water, and he says, wow, something needs to be done about that. I don't know what to do. I'm a fighter. How can a fighter help people get clean water? But you know what? He figured it out, didn't he? God gave him a vision, gave him that calling, and he's doing something about it, and he's inviting others to do something with him about it. And I don't know about you, but I could imagine me trying to go to MMA fighters and say, hey, I want you to help me get some water to the Congo tribe. They're probably not going to listen to me because I've not really been in a whole lot of fights in my life. But they're going to listen to Justin Wren because he's been there. They understand from his perspective. And now he's had a change in perspective. He can help them change their perspective. Notice that Paul starts out the part of this letter by saying, as a prisoner for the Lord. Paul was in prison. He is possibly in shackles as he writes this letter. And this is what God has called him to be a prisoner. But he said, I've called you to go to the Gentiles. I've called you to go and share the good news of the gospel wherever you are. And as Paul has pursued this goal, it has wound him up in prison. But he is not asking why this is happening. He's just saying, I'm letting you know, Ephesians, I'm in prison and I recognize this is just a part of my calling. He does not let the situation stop him from pursuing what God has called him to do. He's still getting the message out, even in shackles, even in prison. I'm writing this letter. I'm going to give it to somebody. It's going to get out. It's going to encourage somebody. And here we are today reading it. Now, what if Paul had said, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. This couldn't be my calling because I wound up in prison, but he didn't let that stop him. So he says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That worthy in the Greek is really two words, peripateo and axios, meaning to walk, to be occupied with, live in a way suitably, appropriately. In this case, Paul is saying, live in a way appropriately to your calling. What you've been called to do, the way you live every day, in and out, it needs to be seen in your life that this is what God has called you to do. And when I think about Justin Wren again, I think, wow, he's doing that. He's still a fighter, but everybody knows that commentator. They didn't say anything about God. They didn't say anything about Jesus. They slipped in things like humanitarian work and political work in Africa. But I'm telling you, if you interviewed Justin Wren personally, he would tell you, it's not about just humanitarian work and political work. It's about what God has called me to do in this world. Worthy. And I believe he's making himself worthy of the calling. And then Paul goes on to list and different types of characteristics that we are to display as we walk through this life, displaying what God has called us to do. He said, be completely humble, gentle, patient, and bear with one another in love. And Paul is saying not only these instructions to the Christ followers in Ephesus, but these characteristics are consistent in all his letters. Every church he wrote to, he talks about humility. He talks about it's important to be patient and bear with one another in love. And that's something we need to hear in our calling. Because sometimes in our calling, we can become a little arrogant. We can become not so gentle. We can forget to bear with one another's burdens, realizing that, you know what, they have a calling too. And sometimes my calling in the world may be going very well for me in this season of my life, but there may be somebody else who's having a calling that's not going so well in their season of life. And somebody needs to encourage them and sit down with them and be humble and gentle and bear with them in love. And that's what Paul is saying here. And then he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And Paul understands, we all understand this, that Paul knows that this is critical for the gospel of Christ to spread through the world, to see this among the followers of Jesus. They need to see unity. They need to see a bond of peace through those. And he also knows that even when you do this, those opposed to the gospel message will not exactly be peaceful. But he says, even when they're not being peaceful, everywhere Paul went in his early journeys, guess what happened in those towns? Anybody remember what happened in those towns? You can yell it out. A riot. He caused a riot because he was bringing good news of hope to the people wherever he went. And literally, it caused riots in almost every town, and he had to escape from them, from those towns because what? He said, but I thought he said, bring peace. But when you bring the truth of the gospel that can transform people's lives, sometimes, even though you bring it peaceably, it creates unrest. And even though he has created unrest by the truth he's preaching and proclaiming, Paul is still at peace with himself. He's still at peace with those who have him in chains. And he's displaying these characteristics that he's talking about, even while he's in prison. And then he goes on to say, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you recall, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And in this diverse church in Ephesus, where there's people from all over, there's Jews, there's Gentiles, people from all different faiths, there's all kind of different religions within this culture, he's saying, hey, there's one body, there's one community, one Spirit, just as you recall. And he makes sure you understand that, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Even among this diversity, there has to be unity. The body of Christ must show unity in the oneness of their faith in their Lord Jesus Christ and in their baptism into Jesus Christ. And this points to the oneness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we read throughout Scripture. Whatever each individual's calling may be, the character and the unity of the body of Christ, the community of Christ, the church of Christ must be unified as one. And we understand that. That has to be a part of what we're doing. Now, we're building a new building 5 miles down the road. But Coweta County, Noonan, people in this community, they need to see that this church is more than just a fresh new building. Oh, it's the newest show in town up there on 29. Let's all go see what it is. What they need to see is not a new show. What they need to see is unity. They need to see a community of people that are committed to the calling that God has given them. And I want to challenge y'all right now. I want you to be thinking about in the next few weeks. Next week we're going to have Perry Rubin from Auburn speaking here. We're looking forward to that. And the next week we're going to have some more global scopers from Germany. They're going to speak. Tyler and Shaylen Crawford. But I want to continue to challenge you in the next few weeks about what is God's calling in your life. Going into this new building, what is it for you? Now, I understand that my calling is preaching, but every one of us is going to have a calling as we go into that new building. We need to recognize that God is calling you to do something specific in that new place. We need you. The growth of that depends on it. Yes, it's God, ultimately, but God's saying, I want to see, when I bless them with a new building, how many of them are going to take the calling I've given them serious. I want to see what they're going to do. And we got to bring our lunch, just like the little boy brought his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus fed 5,000 people. He's waiting to see what we're going to bring. And he'll do the rest, but we've got to bring what God has called us to bring and ask God. Say, God, here's what I got. Multiply it. Do something with it. So I want you to be thinking. You say, well, I've already got a ministry in the church. I've already got a ministry. It's beyond the doors of this church, y'all, and y'all understand that. Maybe God is calling you students who grudgingly have started back to school. Maybe he's specifically calling you to something in your school this year. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's somebody that you see every day and you say, you know, I feel bad for that guy or that girl. They don't really seem to have a lot of friends and they're annoying. It's a term I hear a lot from my kids. But maybe God is calling you to get off your behind with the same old people you sit with every day at lunch and go sit with that person and try to get to know them. Maybe you can make a difference. Did you hear what Justin Wren said? Everybody had written me off as I was done. But one friend called me several times a day and wouldn't give up on me. And he changed his life. If that guy doesn't do anything else in life, look what he did for Justin Wren. And maybe God's calling you to that. Maybe it's somebody at your work and you can't stand that person in the other cubicle. And every time they come, you roll your eyes and you go, here we go. Here it comes. They're going to start complaining. They're going to start doing this. They're going to start, you know, brown-nosing the boss or whatever it is. You know, whatever. But maybe God's calling you to go to lunch with that person and sit down and just listen to them. Maybe that's your calling. I don't know. It could be one of a thousand things, but I'm telling you, God's going to need all of us to say, I have a calling, and in this church, we want you to take that calling and use it for the glory of God, and I hope that happens. There's a minister at the Park Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he urges Christians from all walks of life to step up, to overcome these different dilemmas in life that we have and realize that God has called us to a purpose. He said, there are questions that beg to be answered. There are dilemmas to be overcome. There are gaps to be filled, and the challenge is for you to fill them. That is the essence of the high calling of spiritual leadership. There is a purpose for your being here. You are meant to answer something, solve something, provide something, lead something, discover something, compose something, write something, say something, translate something, interpret something, sing something, create something, teach something, preach something, bear something, overcome something, and in so doing, you improve the lives of others around you under the power of God for the glory of God. How true is that? There's all somethings that you can do. What is that something for you? What is God calling you to do in the church? What is God calling you to do in this church? What is God calling you to do in your neighborhood, in your school, in your place of business or work, or on the team that you're on, or whatever group it is? It's important for us to understand that. And I want to continue to challenge you. And maybe you need to write some things down that you believe God's calling you to do. And I love it when y'all come up to me and say, hey, Craig, what have you thought about doing this? Now, a lot of times that overwhelms me and go, oh, great, there's something else I've got to take care of. But what I've been very encouraged is that so many of you are coming up with great ideas and you're saying, no, I don't want you to have to do that or anybody else. We had a great Sunday school lesson on that today in the early church in Acts where people says, hey, that's not something I can do, but if God is calling you to do that, I want to empower you. I want to help you to do that and take that calling and take the resources God's given you and do something with it. So be thinking. Be doing what Justin, it's scary, y'all. It's risky. Go to God like Justin Wren and say, God, I want you to give me a calling in my life. I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. And he's going to give you a call, and he will. And be ready for that. But don't pray that prayer unless you're going to be ready for what God's going to give you. Because God will give it to you. Richard Halverson, who's the former pastor of the Fourth Presbyterian Church, and I thought that was funny. Fourth Presbyterian Church, is there even such a thing? I guess, obviously. He was a former chaplain of the United States Senate, and he had a benediction following every service in his church, and I want to read that to you. Listen to how powerful this is. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells in you by the power of His Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in His grace, in His love, His power, and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every Sunday He said that. That's powerful, isn't it? It is powerful. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. And Christ indwells you. He has promised that by the power of His Spirit. And He does want to do something in every one of us. And He can and He does if we'll take that seriously. Now this morning is a special day. You saw me start at the beginning. I had a hard time. I didn't want to say it. But we're losing a family. Aaron and Jason and their family are being called to a new ministry. And I hate to think about that because selfishly I want them and their kids and their family here, but God has called them to something new and special, and they are being obedient to that call, and God's going to do something with that. And I am thrilled for them that God has got them on a new journey. It's a risky journey, it's a scary journey, but it's also a wonderful, full of new things journey that God has called them to. And we're also excited that that means other people are going to get to step up. This young man right here, Daniel Harbin, is going to step up and start leading worship for us, and we're excited about that. But we realize that callings are going to happen. I've had to leave places before, and it was a hard thing to do, and people look at you and go, why is he leaving? What? Because if you've never experienced the call of God to go somewhere, it does seem kind of crazy to you. It doesn't seem to make sense. All the people we read about in the Bible, it doesn't make sense to them, those around them. But the people that heard that calling and follow that calling, they understand it and they know it. So I know they're doing it. I know for y'all, there were some people who doubted, what are you going to do? You're going to leave the United States and you're going to go to Germany for the Harpers here? I'm sure people thought you were crazy and what are you doing? But they heard a calling, and they're following that calling. What about you today? And I want to offer an invitation right now. Maybe God is calling you to something. And that's something you need to think about. You need to say, I don't know, Craig. I don't want it to be a guilt thing. It shouldn't be a guilt thing. It should be the Holy Spirit speaking clearly to you, just like He spoke to Justin Wren and says, hey, I want you to go somewhere. I'll show you where it is. Just so happens his mentor says, hey, I'm going on a mission trip next month. Was that a coincidence? It was not a coincidence. It was God saying, when I speak something into your life, I will also give you the opportunity to do those things I've called you to do. And Justin went, and he followed, and he's continuing to do that. So maybe that's something in your life. If you're already a Christian, God is calling you to something, and maybe you need to take some time, some prayer, and I want to encourage you to do that. But there might be somebody here today, and you say, you know what, I'm hearing all this stuff, and I'm not sure where I'm going. And so we invite you to say, hey, I want to name Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I saw that Jesus does change everything for Justin Wren. That inspires me. I want to have that in my life. I don't know where he's going to take me. Maybe it won't be to the pygmies in Congo. Maybe you're saying, I hope not. But he's going to take you somewhere. Maybe you need to make that decision today. And we want to offer that, to come forward and say, hey, you know what? I'm tired of trying to do it just on my calling. I want to start following God's calling in my life. And if you need to make that decision today, we invite you, while we sing this song, we're going to stand together. If you need to make that song, just come forward. I'll walk you through that. But for the rest of us who've already made that decision, I want you just to meditate through the rest of this service on what God is calling you to do with where He's put you in the world. Let's stand and sing together.